This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
The more we chat through, the more I realise that the thing that is tending to hold things back is like naysayers and can't people, and just saying no seems to be the reason why things don't happen rather than that they can. If you've got the right people around the table and people that want to do it, mad crazy stuff happens, right?
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do, and that you also laugh just as much too.
We know all too well that being in this eco space is oftentimes terrifying and absolutely overwhelming, which is why today we want to bring to you another episode of Happy Eco News. The last time we recorded one of these episodes, you guys gave us such great feedback that it brought you joy, it inspired you, and it just encouraged you to seek out a lot more happy eco news. So we want to bring to you today stories of local, national, and sometimes global people that are doing such great things for the environment. And one of the things that we have taken away from this episode is where there's a will, there's a way.
I come on with stats again, Kaylee.
What?
Exciting stats for me. I think it's exciting. I'm not sure everyone thinks it's exciting. What are we talking about today?
Good news.
More good news. We said, didn't we, we'd do good news every now and then.
I just really loved the last one. Yeah. And I listened to it back. And you know what I'm like? I like cringe and I listen back to our podcast stuff. But I really like that one. It was really quite nice. It was really balanced. But if you've got stats, I've got stats.
Talk to me. You step me first.
No. You step me first.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, this is mental, right? So this comes from Slovakia. So some really good news from Slovakia. And you're going to like this as well. It's called EcoButt.
What?
Which is not my butt. Not the kind of butts that I'm used to. Did you know that this is going to blow your brains, right? 6 trillion fags are smoked every year across the globe.
Hold up. Where did you get this from? Because I feel like we may have gone to the same place. Did you go Happy Eco News?
Oh, Happy Eco News. Not for all my stats.
But. Everybody go check out Happy Eco News. They're really, really good. I saw the fag one. Go on, tell me.
Did you know they've got a podcast series, Amplifying Earth Heroes?
Is it them or is it somebody else?
Oh, I don't know. But I saw that and I was like, right, that's going on my headphones every single day.
Yeah, I saw it. Right, go on, sorry.
Yeah, anyway, so 4.5 trillion of those 6 trillion fags every year get disposed of as litter. They don't degrade. Fags don't degrade. They're full of toxic crap. They're just freaking horrible. So in Slovakia, they have worked out how they can turn cigarette butts into asphalt. They're basically mixing it with some kind of material and basically turning it into roads and paths. And
are you joking? I didn't read as far as that. I saw the fag thing, and then there is like so much guilt wrapped up in me because I used to smoke. And
oh mate, we can't spend our life looking back on all the
I know, but that is probably one of the things that I do look back and go,
did I do 4.4 trillion of those fags?
sure. Like,
it's mad though, isn't it?
Like, isn't it?
Let's not beat ourselves up about what we used to do.
I mean, no, not at all. But it just makes you just think, doesn't it? Like,
but it's just insane. And they were saying that, like, because they're going to clear up the filters as part of putting them into the roads and whatever else, because they're going to be cleaned up, the kind of toxicity that comes from when water washes off roads, which I didn't even think about. Water washes over the roads, takes the toxicity from the surface of the roads, and then pushes that out into the grass and everything else. So if they're clearing up the kind of filters that they put into it, that the actual surface itself is less toxic. And then I'm like, oh God.
No, stop. Hold up. So hold on.
I know.
So they put the fags, they make the fags into stuff to make roads.
Uh-huh.
And then when the rain comes, it takes out the toxins from that.
No, I think they were saying kind of that now, as it stands, when it rains onto a road and the water washes off the road, it takes with it the toxic crap that sits in the road material. So basically it's saying if they can make these fags cleaner, then the road material becomes less toxic. And then I didn't even freaking think about road material being toxic when water washes off it.
Oh, I get
you. So when I was like, oh God, that's another thing that I didn't even know was crap. But it is crap.
Now you know.
But hopefully, like, by mixing it with, like, cleaned up cigarette butts, it's hopefully going to be, like, less toxic in terms of, like, the water pollution that comes off it.
That's not where I thought that story was going to go, but that's really interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? So that's in Slovakia. The project's called Eco Butt. Go check it out. Don't get your spelling wrong. I know. That's what drew me in. As soon as I saw Eco Butt, I was like, I need to check this out.
So I went and found this blog, and I'll do that second, actually. So the first one, it was from the same site. It's called Happy Eco News, right? And I know that trees are your thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they are love, aren't they?
Of course, yeah.
But what if I was to tell you that's not always the best thing to plant?
What?
Did you know grasslands? Planting grasslands can store billions of tons of carbon and support native wildlife. So that's planting really trees cool. is one of nature's base solutions to combat climate change and absorb and store greenhouse emissions. But it isn't the only thing we can plant to mitigate emissions. And I thought, I have only just really sort of like started to understand grasslands. We've got loads around here, by the way, like North Downs and all that sort of stuff. And they're basically saying that it is sometimes just better to
as
go and
good
plant.
As.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the image where they've got a cross section of the soil, and then they've got grass on one side, kind of garden grass, and then on the other side they've got like grasses, so kind of like established prairie grasslands.
No.
They show you how deep the root systems are for the grasses that grow year after year after year. And they're like two times the height of the person that's standing next to them. And then the grass that's just like mine and your grass in our garden, the root system's like, I don't know, like 2-3 inches long. Basically saying like in terms of like absorbing moisture during floods and being drought resistant by being able to reach down to water further down, the grasses that are just left. So not, I don't know what the difference is between grass and grasslands. I guess you can tell me, but like.
I think it's something to do with the soil. To get the full article, I would encourage people, I'm going to summarise. So like, I would encourage people to go and actually have a look. But native grasses have deep, extensive root systems which help hold soil in place and prevent erosion. And so grasslands can regulate water flow, improve water quality by filtering out pollutants and absorbing excess nutrients. And they also help to decrease flooding and recharge groundwater supplies, which provides drinking water for local communities.
That's insane.
Like, I mean, that's just a short, like, paragraph. But I think that's basically what you're saying, isn't it? It's like the root system are just so different. That doesn't explain why, but I guess that kind of explains a little bit about what it does. But they were saying that planting trees is kind of like where everybody goes to because it protects the land then from like developers, yeah, etc. Yeah. and stuff. And that's why grasslands don't really get that much of a good rep because
just any old
everyone just looks at it like it's grass and people look at them like as you know, fields like are just vacant, like just not doing anything
because it's just got grass
because you
it.
Just don't know, yeah, you can't see what's going on below. Wow. And that just blows my mind. That
that's
stuff.
Just an education piece, really, isn't it? Instead of going, it's just got grass in it. Therefore, it's got no value. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That's very cool, though. Thank you for sharing that one.
Tell me yours.
Well, next one is Yorkminster, Pompeii, the Vatican, Cambridge University, all super, 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 super old buildings. So Yorkminster dates back to 1386. And they've gone and all got solar panels.
Are you joking?
I love that. So essentially the one on Yorkminster, which is the one in particular that we're talking about, very subtly and discreetly added into their the Gothic roof.
Wow.
And producing enough power to power 25 homes per year, which is amazing. And the reason why I brought this story up was, and I know solar panels is a big expense, it's a big outlay, and it's not available to everybody. But I think taking the barriers away of this building's old or this building's, you know, significant or beautiful or, you know, all those kind of other reasons why people might be reluctant to put solar panels on iconic buildings. It's being done. And it's kind of, yeah, flipping things around and making people think differently about what can be done, I guess.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if these guys can do it, I think that's the thing I enjoyed the most about this was if you want to do it,
you can actually do it. Because you know what I always think about that? Like, there are obviously, like, lots of people that rent, lots of people that just won't be able to afford to do solar panels and stuff. And it always makes me think, you know, like we've got so many car parks in our town. Like as a community, imagine if we could be organised enough to be able to get solar panels in our car parks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then be able to use that in some way for either houses or like community buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. There is a town, I think I said this to someone the other day, there's a town in Scotland that's the first net zero town.
What?
Through energy. They've got their own energy source and they've got, yeah, like really remarkable. I can't remember the name of it now. Not really helpful for a podcast, but really, really good. So I think if you've got a vision, you've got the means, like you've got the people that are kind of skilled enough to be able to go, yeah, this is doable. Because we've got Mid Kent College in our town. They are looking at solar panels on a big, massive scale,
wow,
I think.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, which is like, I don't know what they're going to do with the energy, maybe just for their site because it's huge. But do you know what I mean? It's just thinking outside the box
just
sometimes,
so visionary, isn't it? And I know money is always an issue, so it can't be for everyone at this stage. But there are institutions that are really committed to doing good things for the environment, and there is money out there. I know money's tight for some people, but there is money out there, and there are grants out there that people can apply to. And I've also seen as well kind of community crowdfunding for things like this as well, where the people that invest in their local solar schemes then become, you know, recipients of the profits when it comes together.
Oh,
so
really?
Really, really interesting kind of financial schemes that are coming together, knowing that this is where money could be made, and this is like the future. And I just think when places like the Vatican and York Minster go, yeah, we'll do it, I think it's just starting to take those barriers away and starting to allow people the space to think differently, that if you want to do it, you can do it.
I wonder if they do any sort of like learning for people that are on the same sort of journey. Do you know what I mean?
How did you get around this? How did you get around that? Yeah, really interesting. It might be worth, I mean, I don't know who would be the, I don't know enough about the structure.
But I mean, imagine the Vatican having solar panels. Have you ever been there?
No, have you?
It's fascinating.
Is it
insane? It's massive, but also just like, why would you not? Centre of Rome. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
But you're right. They will have jumped through some hoops that loads of other people will need to jump through. I spoke to a guy called Peter Vermeulen, who was in charge of the decarbonising of National Trust. He was their chief finance officer. And he did their divestment piece, which is around kind of divesting all of their investments away from fossil fuels, and just contacted him and just said, like, can we have a chat? Gave me about an hour of his time.
That's so amazing.
And I think people that do these incredible things, they must be so proud of what they've achieved.
They do want to share it.
And we're imagining that they're being like, come and look at us because we've done amazingly. Let's hold a conference because we're like, well, that's mega. But I guess just for some people, it's part of their day job and they don't think to remember how inspirational and amazing it is. So tap up the Vatican, Kaylee. Use
tap
your contacts.
Tap up the Vatican, imagine.
Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, The Raynham Eco Hub.
There is, right? This amazing new blog that I have discovered, and the blog is called The Eco News. Have you come across this?
Does he have an Instagram page? Is it the dude with long hair?
Oh, I don't know.
Sometimes it crops up on my page where he like tells a few good eco stories from around the world.
Oh, well, I've got some stats rather than, I mean, they're good stats, but the UK's 10 most common eco habits is what this person, I don't know if it's male or female, but they've kind of put them into a table, right? So there's 10 eco habits, right? So let me just give you the first two. People say they take their own reusable bags when shopping. Guess how many respondents who always or regularly do this?
Is it as a percentage?
Mm-hmm.
I reckon we're about 50% now.
88.
That's good. That's really good.
Pretty good, isn't it? Okay, next one is, people say they air dry clothes rather than tumble dry.
I'm going to say 40%.
75.
No way.
See, it blows your mind, doesn't it?
And are they talking into an echo chamber? Are they asking, like, the gang?
Well, this was a study taken by Auto Trader.
Oh, okay. So maybe not then.
Which is a bit bizarre, isn't it? I saved that until the end because I didn't, when I read it, I was like, I don't really know where this is going to go, really. Yeah. I don't know if I really want to talk about Auto Trader as a...
But I think it's good though, because I think if we asked on the hub,
yeah,
How many of you do this? Yeah. I think we are going to have a skewed response.
Yeah, of course. Whereas these guys, Auto Trader, ask drivers how regularly they perform a variety of everyday sustainable habits. And these are the findings.
They're not necessarily talking to the eco people. Gang.
No.
Interesting. Keep going.
Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one says, people say they recycle at home using curbside recycling for household items.
I'm going to go with 70%.
Very close. 73.
I nicked that from how much Medway Recycles have given that stat before.
Oh, have they?
I wondered if we were across the board. Okay. That's cool.
Okay. What about... You'll like this one. People buy secondhand clothes, toys, appliances, furniture, etc. for sustainability reasons. So bearing in mind who they are asking, but it's got the caveat of for sustainability reasons. So it's not...
Money.
30%. 34. You are 34. Good.
That's interesting. The reason why I say that is because people are definitely getting better at secondhand shopping. We talked about that this week on the radio show because the price that charity shops are charging has reflected the fact that clearly there's greater demand. I've only recently started to see charity shops saying...
For sustainability.
Yeah, to celebrate that. And they've always celebrated it for the cause, for the cause of their charity is sat at the heart of it.
Yep.
I would probably say only in the last year am I starting to see the messaging, including saying, I mean, do amazing things for X charity, but also save the planet at the same time.
But I do wonder what the total would be if you took out that last bit for sustainability reasons. I wonder whether it would be a lot higher.
I think it'd be interesting as well to see kind of what percentage of what people buy comes from a charity shop. Because there's a difference, I guess, between every now and then popping into a posh charity shop to pick up some knickknacks and having that as your default that you look for stuff in before you go and buy it from a shop.
I've definitely changed my mindset in, like, if I need something, it's like my iron broke. First place that I went to was just Facebook Marketplace. Like, I've definitely changed that mindset of going there first, and then if I can't find it.
Yeah, I have as well. I was looking for some football shorts for my husband, and he had quite specific needs about, like...
What he wanted.
Like, I was going to get into the detail of that, but around the netting inside a pair of football shorts.
And I'm like, do they still do that there? Oh, I suppose they do, yeah, running around with all that raggling around.
But when you buy online, I suppose you could ask, couldn't you? But like, they don't have you be able to like look at specifics
like course.
That.
Let me look inside your pants sort of thing.
No. Show me your pants. So yeah, just little things like that, that like I find it more difficult, but it doesn't mean it's impossible, does it?
No.
But yeah, interesting. Really interesting.
So I'll give you one more and then I'm sure you're going to wow me with yours. I've showed you mine. You can show me yours.
Yes.
So how many people do you reckon drive slower to save less fuel?
Nobody.
Do you think?
Nobody. I don't reckon anybody. And that's so disrespectful. I don't mean it that way. I don't think speed is really well known as being a way to reduce your emissions. Plus, people from when we've done our kind of bits around
air quality and
people do not like being told how to drive.
Especially people that are probably on Auto Trader.
I'm going to say 2%.
42.
What?
42.
Oh, they've caught up the party quicker than I did. I don't reckon I knew that slowing down helped reduce air quality before about a year ago.
Well, do you know what's really funny is there have been so many times in my life, I live on the edge, Liz, right? I live on the edge where I let the petrol get so... low.
You are like my husband
car.
And I want to kill you.
I live life on the edge. And then I literally coast on fumes to the petrol station. That literally is my life. And before, I used to do this so often that I'd have like a panic attack that I need to get to the petrol station. So I would speed up to get there quicker because I'd be like, come on, just get there. And then my husband was like, you do realise
you need to slow down.
You need to slow yourself down because you're wasting more fuel by trying to go faster. And I was like, oh, just don't tell me that. Shush.
Get there faster so it runs out. So I beat it running out. You get there before it runs out. Catch it out. I got through yesterday a bloody speed awareness course. First one I've ever done. 92 bloody pounds. Because I was doing 25 and a 20 in London. So I've spoken before about the 20 mile an hour streets in London. And I came away being like, I want to live somewhere that's got 20 mile an hour speed zone, because even for central London, it was peaceful. There were people out with their dogs, there were kids playing. It gave a whole different vibe to the area. Like, you drive through London and it's crap and it's manky and horrible. And then there was these 20 mile an hour zones, and I was like, I'm all for it. I think it was brilliant. Yeah. Once you get used to 20 miles an hour, it just doesn't make any difference. But I think I got busted because 20 mile an hour feels really, really, really slow to begin with.
Yeah.
But I still advocated for it and yet still went at 25. So I didn't mean to, but I think going down to 20 is going to be a big mind shift change. But, you know, I can say it made the area I drove through much nicer.
Wow.
Mm. But I've got to still do the bastard course. But you know.
Right, I've shown you mine. You need to show me yours.
Okay. I feel like I've talked about 85% of today. I'm so sorry. I've got verbal diarrhea.
Go.
Right. So have you heard about the robot shark?
No.
Canary Wharf has got around 120,000 people every single bloody day going through it, right? Which I think in itself is crazy. So obviously all the cups and wrappers and crap and whatever else ends up in the river. And what I also didn't realise, which I absolutely hate, is only 14% of English rivers reach good ecological standards. Just 14%.
Of rivers?
Of all lakes. Rivers in the UK, only 40% of them meet good ecological standards.
Joe Lysick, get yourself on that, mate.
No, Joe Lysick, come on the pod. And 8 million tonnes of plastic across the world end up in the sea via rivers as well. So just gross. So this particular area of Canary Wharf was just looking really awful, filling with cups and wrappers and crap and all sorts of stuff from city workers. So this electric robot shark, which makes no noise and is powered by battery just to kind of keep, you know, don't scare the wildlife and stuff, floats around in Canary Wharf for between 8 and 10 hours a day and collects half a ton of plastic a day.
What?
21,000 bottles.
I really didn't know where you were going with that.
What did you think I was going to say?
Well, I don't know. I could just imagine this. I don't know.
I don't
know. Is that real?
Yeah.
Who's funded that, do you reckon?
I don't know, actually. But I also can't work out how this little robot, when you see it, it looks like a little Hoover.
So has he got like a bag on the back of his butt? Like a net?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Then he drags the net. Sure. And then they said they recycled 21,000 bottles and then disposed of properly and recycled.
I mean, that is mad.
Nice, isn't it? I mean, it's sad that it exists. And in my head, I'm like, it's Canary Wharf. Like, Canary Wharf will be fine because it's like in the city. People got their, you know, got their bins and everything else. They could do this properly, but no. And if that's coming from Canary Wharf,
I want to know who's funded that, because I think, see, it's this sort of stuff, Liz, right, that just blows my mind, because that somebody has seen an issue, right, and they've gone, I can come up with a solution for that. Then they've obviously found someone that goes, I'll fund that,
yeah, because I believe
in
it too.
And then they've got it.
And it takes the cynicism away from thinking no one cares, when actually, like, people have gone, yeah, all right, yeah, we can make that work. Did you know that ocean cleanup? Have you ever seen the videos of that? So there's a big ocean cleanup in the big Pacific garbage tip. Have you seen it? And they've got like a big net and they're catching all the crap.
I have seen videos like that where they do it in rivers and that just fascinates me.
Oh, me too. It's a bit ASMR, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But this one is catching all the kind of crap out in the Pacific and then it pulls it in. Then it pours the big, like, it's like a container, pours all the crap out and then it collects it in. Apparently, that was designed by a 16-year-old.
Wow.
Obviously not funded by a 16-year-old, but just somebody had a vision, believed they could do it, and it gets put through.
I love that.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think there's loads of, so if you look at Earthshot.
Earthshot prize.
I mean, you look at some of those, they're not old dudes that are coming up with these solutions.
No, you're right, aren't you? They really celebrate, like, people across
younger,
the world,
yeah.
Younger people who are really poor and just thinking on their feet about ways to do good stuff.
Have you seen that film? Oh, I can't remember what it is now. My daughter read the book at school, and it's about the guy that created a wind turbine. Wind turbine in, I think it was like Uganda. And he basically got power or water to his village.
Wow.
And I think it's just when people that are affected by an issue sit there and think, right, what can I do to get a solution for this? People get so creative, don't they?
Comes back to that thing we were mentioning before, that, like, if there's a will and there's an interest, anything can happen, can't it? And that actually, like, I think the more we chat through, the more I realise that the thing that is tending to hold things back is, like, naysayers and can't people, and just saying no seems to be the reason why things don't happen rather than that they can. If you've got the right people around the table and people that want to do it, mad crazy stuff happens, right?
But I bet with all of these scenarios that we're giving, I bet they don't go somewhere to ask for permission. I bet they just do it.
Crack on and do it, yeah.
They don't sit around, wait, you know, go to somebody, or can I do this? They just do it, I think. Mm. And I think that's probably where the power of people comes in, is because they just don't.
I think the more we chat, we realise that if there's a will, it will happen.
If there's a will, there's a way.
There's a will, there's a way. And if there's too much bureaucracy, it won't. So stop asking for permission and just crack on.
Crack on and do it.
It needs to be our strap line, doesn't it? We can get where there's a will, there's a way, and don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. Someone make that sound sexy.
Forget about think global, act local.
Say, forget about permission, ask for forgiveness. We've gone off topic.
No, not at all. I really liked this today. Can I give you another two?
Let's have another two.
Another two stats, right? So people say they wear more clothes to stay warm than turning up the central heating. Now, bearing in mind, we have been in cozy lives for the last couple of years, and the whole energy crisis funded by proxy fossil fuels.
Yeah, true.
What do you reckon?
50%.
64.
Good on you, the 64%. I'm loving that.
This is something that I've recently done, so I'll be interested to see what you think. People say they switch their washing machine to 30 degrees. I've gone 20.
Have you? And is it still all right?
For my loosely...
Your day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go down to 30. I'm going to say 50% again.
64.
Oh, well done. Another 64. That's really good. Because that literally takes two taps of a button, doesn't it?
It's so good,
isn't it? And if the outcome is exactly the same, there is no reason not to.
Just so, so good. But that, if you go and have a look on the Eco News, it's just a blog where they just share.
You fill your cup up.
Eco stuff. It's quite nice, really, yeah.
Really cool. On that note,
yeah,
I've got to head back because I'm going on a, and this is how cool I am, I'm going on a permaculture course.
Permaculture course.
Can we do a pod about permaculture one day?
I have no idea what that is, so yes, please.
Oh, yay. I'm such a loser. I used to go clubbing and now I rush back from my podcast to go to my permaculture course. But
do it. And then come back and tell us all what you learn. And then I get to interview you.
About permaculture. I mean, yes. It's only an hour and a half long. I'm not sure I'll have enough knowledge.
You'll have more than me.
Oh, that's true. Okay. An hour and a half more's knowledge.
I hope you have a wonderful afternoon then, learning about perming.
Perming my hair, yeah. I'll come back with curly hair next week and go, I've signed up to the wrong course.
And don't forget, people, what you need to do? What do you need to do?
To like and subscribe.
Like a real podcaster.
Thanks, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.